Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros, bienvenidos. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, of course, coming to you live from the Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your host. I'm also an award-winning writer and a four-time Golden Glove champion. So, allegedly, supposedly, I should know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? Sometimes I'm in the dark. You know more. Open phone lines around the planet, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, a quiet weekend in the world of boxing. Of course, the end of the year, it's always been that way for the most part. And December's always been a losing card as far as putting cards together with certain. I mean, if you want to throw shows in December, you think you wouldn't make money on them, right? Well, guess what? The Tyson Fury and Oleg Usyk fight last week drew 1.5 million homes on pay-per-view in the United States. Now, how did it draw that? I don't know, because nobody I know, I'll say it again, and I'll probably have to take the fifth or admit to a crime or something like that, but the bottom line is nobody buys these pay-per-views. 1.5 million people, does that mean there were 1.5 million marks that didn't know how to go around the system? I mean, I'm just trying to be real. I'm not trying to cheat. I'm not trying to say things that I'm not trying to steal or anything like that, but I'm just trying to tell you. It's like, I go over somebody's house. I don't ask them how they got it. I just go over their house and watch the fights there, okay? That's just the way it is. But, somebody has to pay for this. 1.5 million homes, 1.5 million suckers bought this card from the Saudi Arabian Turk. Of course, he put it on over there in Saudi Arabia, and more power to him. A lot of guys got a lot of money. Speaking of the Turk, evidently I read somewhere this weekend, it looked like it was a gossip type of thing, like a National Enquirer type of story, but it said that Andre Ward, the so-called son of God, the 2004 Olympic gold medalist, the man I said will win the gold medal, everybody said I was shilling for him, that he was a hometown guy, and I was shilling for him. I said, no, he's going to win the gold medal. He's never lost a fight in his life. In fact, he had never lost except for that one fight as an amateur, and he got jobbed in that. Anyway, Andre Ward has reportedly been offered $130 million bottom line is the Saudi Arabians are going to give him $130 million, and he's got a torn up ACL. I mean, that's why he didn't come back and fight Canelo. They offered him a lot of money, but he has a torn up. He has the Achilles tendon in his leg, I think it's his left leg, of a cadaver. That's how bad his leg was torn up at one point in time, pushing cars around a parking lot down there in Hayward, California, with his esteemed trainer, Virgil Hunter. Not. Straight up. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Keep listening for a free virus protection offer. Protect your computer from crashing and online scams. According to national research, one-third of all computers are infected with some sort of computer malware. And one-third of you have been a victim of online fraud. Protect yourself now with My Computer Works. We're an 18-year-old U.S.-based company with a 4.8 Google rating. We've helped your neighbors protect their computers for almost 20 years. And now you too can be protected for less than $1 a day. Get your total PC home support right now. Call our U.S.-based specialist right now and learn about our free offer. And remember, if we can't help you, our services cost you nothing. So call right now.
800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. That's 800-352-7618.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Celebrate July 4th with savings at Lowe's. For a limited time, save on the essentials you need to make your garden pop for summer, like Miracle-Gro 25-quart potting mix. Get two bags for just $16. And get up to 40% off, plus save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances. Hurry, these deals won't last long, because Lowe's knows summer savings. Valid through 7/10. Miracle-Gro excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Appliance savings vary based on purchase amount. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details. While supplies last.
This is J.D. Sharp. I've been developing a revolutionary sports handicapping service, and you can be a part of the beta. Sign up at BetUS.com with a deposit of as little as $50 and use the promo code SHARPBETTING. Email a screenshot of your account to WorldwideSharp@gmail.com and I'll reply personally with my plays. My NFL record this season was an industry best 72-33, and this is the only way to know all my plays the moment I make them. Let's keep making money together.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I was a white man accepted by the Nation of Islam. When I was with Ali, they would tell Ali, he a CIA, he undercover FBI guy. Ali said, he's my guy, he does more for me one day than you would do in your whole lifetime. I used to sit with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. To me, he was a great man. Minister Louis Farrakhan, I took him to my house. It was a highlight of his life. They asked me to write a book, 1976, a tell-all book about Ali. $2 million, 10% of the gross. I wouldn't do it. So then they came back later, $1 million and 5%, just the good things. I still don't do it. Our lives that we live is between us. I don't need the recognition. I'm not paying alimony, child support. I have my three dogs at home. I'm happy. I'm happy in my own little world. They say, write a book. I said, they should pay me not to write the book.
That was Gene Kilroy, born Eugene Kilroy 83 years ago. He's living in Las Vegas, outside of Las Vegas as I speak. He was the former manager, aide. Somebody called him the white Bundini Brown of the Muhammad Ali camp. But straight up, he's a colorful guy. Never know what he's going to say, and hopefully we'll have him on next week's show live. But straight up, Gene Kilroy, of course, talking about Muhammad Ali. At one point in time, I remember what really sort of freaked me out about when the relationship between Ali and Kilroy was Kilroy was going to bet $100,000 on Muhammad Ali the morning of the Muhammad Ali-Larry Holmes fight. And Muhammad Ali called Gene Kilroy into his room. He called him. He said, Gene, I want to see you. And he said, Gene, you still going to bet that money? He said, yeah. He goes, not this time. Don't bet it this time. So, Ali knew he was going to win that night. Of course, October 2nd, 1980, the destruction of Muhammad Ali at the hands of Larry Holmes and Father Time, without a doubt. 38 years old, of course, coming off the two Spinks fights. The first Spinks fight he lost. How do you lose to a guy that's like 7-0? I mean, whether he's an Olympic gold medalist or not, that was a sloppy effort by Muhammad Ali the first time around. And I think that deep down in my heart that he lost that title. He lost the title. He threw the fight with Spinks. The first fight he threw with Spinks. And then the second fight, he barely won that. I mean, come on, man. And then he had the nerve to come back 2 years later. I mean, that took nerve to come back 2 years later after his reflexes had been, they were gone. I mean, zero. They left town, okay? He had no punch left. He had nothing. I mean, talk about fighting as a reasonable facsimile. That's what it was. It was a guy fighting like a reasonable facsimile of what Muhammad Ali was at one point in time. But that 38-year-old body that stepped in, of course, against Larry Holmes, it looked real good, 217.5 pounds. Of course, I was at the weigh, and I said to myself, man, 217.5, he's light, but is light right? And then Angelo Dundee told me, of course, his famed trainer told me later, light wasn't right. Of course, 217.5 is what he weighed for that, and Larry Holmes plastered him for 10 rounds. Muhammad Ali never won a round, never won a minute of a round. And when you never win a minute of a round and you go 10 rounds, it's probably not going to be a good night, no doubt about that. Hey, speaking of good nights, Joe Frazier, today's his birthday. I want to wish a happy birthday, of course, to Smoking Joe Frazier, 32-4, 27 KOs. Joe finished his career, of course, with the, that was like 1981, December 1981, a 10-round draw with a guy named by the name of Floyd Jumbo Cummings. And the reason they called him Jumbo is he was a fat guy. That's what they called, I kid you not. That was back December 3rd, 1981. I think I was working at the Central Police Station, just a few blocks away from the station. Anyway, Joe Frazier, 1964 Olympic gold medalist, of course, former heavyweight champion. He came along when Muhammad Ali sort of was, you know, taken away from the sport, of course, because of his draft exile and his stance on the Vietnam War and things like that. So, you know, Joe sort of fit into a nice spot there. He was the Olympic gold medalist, and he was a good guy. He wasn't a black guy that was going to make a – he wasn't going to talk a lot of smack and get people in trouble. He just wasn't. I mean, he wasn't confrontational. He wasn't controversial. He was just a hard-working guy. I mean, just that's what he was. I mean, he wasn't going to clown anybody for the most part. You know, and when I saw him fight Muhammad Ali the first time, I look back at that tape now. I've seen it. I remember seeing it, listened to it. I think back. I listened to it on the radio the first time, but when I saw it for the first time, it was the greatest exhibition of mental strength I've ever seen in my life. I've never, ever, ever, ever seen a greater display of mental strength than I saw from Joe Frazier on March 8th, 1971. Of course, he was in the hospital for a couple of weeks, 3 weeks afterwards. He was never the same, and God knows he wasn't. I mean, he took a whole lot of beatings and a whole lot of beating in that 15-round fight. And of course, he hurt Ali in the 11th round, and everybody talks about the big knockdown in the 15th round when Muhammad Ali was knocked out and laid on the canvas, right? But the bottom line was, in the 11th round, Ali was hurt far more than he was in the 15th round. In fact, he told me that. In fact, he said that the 11th round against Joe Frazier the first time around was the most hurtest I've ever been in my life. Straight up, is Tommy D ready to go? You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, and then we had Joe Frazier, the gym owner in Philadelphia, and he was a bit of a weird dude when he ran the gym because he got drunk a lot, okay? So you never knew what Joe was going to be there. Joe was always a split personality type of dude. So one day in the gym, he got pissed off at somebody, and he pulled out a gun, and he cleared out the gym. And when I say he cleared out the gym, people that were sparring left the gym with their gloves and their cup on. They left the gym. Get out. Come back tomorrow, get your spit. Spit with an H, okay? That's the way Joe was sometimes. Of course, then I had Joe with the Von Bean Evander Holyfield fight when I was working for Don King doing the King Vision television there in Atlanta, Georgia. And you know, he was, how can I put this? Joe Frazier was in the corner with Butch Lewis. Butch Lewis was the promoter, per se. And he was in the corner, and he was calling the referee a honky and all kinds of white pig and all kinds of Brian Gary was the referee. And Brian Gary told me the only reason why he didn't throw Joe Frazier out of the arena that night because it was because he was Joe Frazier, the former world heavyweight champion. He thought that would cause headlines around the world. He didn't want to be part of some controversy, so he let Joe call him all kinds of names. So straight up, Joe Frazier acted a fool that night. Then, of course, we had the thing at the Hall of Fame when I asked him, how can you charge people for autographs? Ooh, man. I mean, I wasn't confrontational about it, not as confrontational as I was the way I just said it here, but I said to him, I said, you know, you're the heavyweight, former heavyweight champion of the world. I said, you know, they've paid you millions of dollars over the years. He goes, yeah. I said, so why are you charging for interviews? And he rolled up his lip like I was Muhammad Ali, like he was going to get up and sock me. I kid you not. We're in Canada, New York. I didn't know what to say. He was sitting with his daughter, Jacqueline Frazier Hyde, I think was her name. I think she fought Layla Ali, some type of exhibition or something like that, Frazier versus Ali. But the bottom line is, Joe Frazier was a hard guy to be around, split personality. When he was drunk, he was really rough to be around. When he was sober, he was nice, but he wasn't sober too often. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live. We're all worldwide. We take it to the Bronx with a guy. I don't know how sober he is, but it's 11 o'clock. What time is it over there? 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Tommy D, are you sober?
I'm extra sober. It's 2:20 in the afternoon.
Well, you know, you just got up at noon. I called you 11:30. You weren't up yet, so you know.
Yeah, you know, I stood up, you know, past my bedtime one time, you know.
Oh man, this is a player's lifestyle. That's all there is to it. 2024. Do I need Viagra to go back and get up about 2024 as if I were a boxing fan as a whole?
If you're a boxing fan, the way I'm a boxing fan, yeah, I think you do. I mean, there was a few letdowns. We didn't really see the fights, you know, that we wanted to see. But we did get to see two undisputed champions. I think that was pretty cool. But, yeah, it's a lot of fighters or supposedly the big-name fighters didn't fight who we wanted to see. You know, name the first guy I think of right away is Canelo Alvarez. You know, he didn't fight Benavidez. You know, he fought two guys that didn't belong in a ring with him.
But here, you know what I'm afraid might happen? I think that Benavidez' peak may have come and gone, and I think that I just have a funny feeling, man, that he's going to implode on me. And Eric Murrow presents a style in which he could implode.
Yeah, his next fight. This is a big fight.
February 1st.
I'm picking Murrow to beat him. I think Murrow beats him. I think Murrow outclasses him, and I'm not saying he's going to stop him, but I think he outboxes him, and I think he beats him up.
Okay, T-Mobile Arena, Las Vegas, Nevada. Speaking of T-Mobile, do you have T-Mobile as far as your cell phone's concerned?
Yes, I do.
And so do I, and so does Sock. And according to the New York Post, in Brooklyn, 48% of the respondents said they often experience poor cellular service and drop calls with T-Mobile, followed by the Bronx with 44%. So you guys, do really 40%, that many of your calls drop?
You know, years ago it was like that, but now I haven't really had drop calls like I did years ago when T-Mobile really bursted on the scene. Now, I think now they've put up more towers and stuff like that. So I don't know if those numbers are actually legit, because I think the service has gotten a lot better than what it was years ago. And I've had T-Mobile for a while now.
Hello?
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a good one?
That was good.
Straight up.
I caught it right away, though.
Listen, I'm accusing both you and Sock of stealing Gypsy's cable. The one gypsy in the building, he's stealing the Wi-Fi from somebody big, and then you guys are snatching the Wi-Fi off him, sort of getting the fry. I understand that, but the bottom line is his phone drops on times, and it absolutely drives me berserk.
Well, maybe Sock is. I don't know what you're talking about in first to me. I don't steal anything.
Oh, know? Yeah. Okay. Borrow. Borrow. Listen, I don't watch fights. Listen, 1.5 million people bought that fight last week, okay? The Tyson Fury Oleg Usyk fight from Saudi Arabia. The impeccable one in the other room, he didn't buy the fight. Okay, I didn't buy the fight. It's possible that we both watched the fight, but we didn't buy the fight. So what I'm trying to say is everybody I know, including you, watched the fight but didn't buy the fight. So without taking the fifth or admitting anything like that, because, of course, you watch it in a neighbor's house just like I do watch it at a strip bar, where are they getting the money? Who's buying these fights?
I don't know. They said, what was the report, 1.5 million?
1.5 million.
That's not bad. That's pretty good.
No, that's excellent. What I'm trying to say is that, come on. It's still only like 130. It's 1/355th of the country. I'm saying, you know, yeah. I mean, as far as that's concerned, because the country is supposedly 350 million people. So I get that it's not really all that many numbers as far as the country is concerned. But it's good numbers as far as pay per view is concerned. I mean, I'm sure they were happy with those type of receipts if they were legit. If the big if there,
big if, because we don't know where they get these numbers from, and we don't know how true these numbers are, you know, that are being reported, you know, these pay-per-view buys.
Well, you have to realize that you're getting these stats from promoters. And I told you what Bob Arum told me one day, right?
No.
He goes, listen, yesterday I was lying, but today I'm telling the truth. That's what he told me straight to my face. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-425-2317. 800-425-2317. That's 800-425-2317.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Muhammad Ali once said,
"Impossible is just a big word thrown around by small men who find it easier to live in the world they've been given than to explore the power they have to change it. Impossible is not a fact, it's an opinion. Impossible is not a declaration, it's a dare. Impossible is potential. Impossible is temporary. Impossible is nothing. It isn't the mountains ahead to climb that wear you out. It's the pebble in your shoe. Ignore the opinions of others. Believe in yourself when no one does. When everyone chooses the stair lift, walk up the stairs. If people don't have the life that you want, why do you listen to the opinion they give you? Smile more, worry less, love more, hate less. Give yourself to the world and don't try to take it for yourself. Live every day as if it were your last, because one day you're going to be right."
The Prophet, Muhammad Ali. God, I miss him. You know, it's, how can I put it? I'll say it again, and I can't say it enough, but he could touch people physically without touch. I take that back. He could touch people without touching them physically. It was really weird how he had, like, I seen whole crowds of people swoon over him, things like that. So it's mind-blowing the power that he had over people. Straight up, of course, nobody greater than the greatest. Straight up, we are with another great guy on the line, of course, in the Bronx. We'll talk about the guy that swears that he buys all these pay-per-views every week now, of course, buying the pay-per-views. I'm talking about, should I use your real name?
Yeah, you can use my real name. Which one you want to use? Which one? You have multiple names for me.
Oh, man. I want to mention hour number two. I'm going to go into the career and life of Greg Haugen, of course, the former WBO lightweight champion. Of course, at one point in time, he beat Jimmy Paul. He beat Greg Haugen. He beat Hector Camacho in a fight, and they took the fight away from him because he tested positive for weed.
Wow.
Imagine that. And now marijuana is legal. So I guess athletic commissions can't hold it against you.
I guess not. In certain states.
Well, no, I mean, but wait, hold on. If you have alcohol in your system, it's okay. I mean, why would weed be any different?
I don't know.
Anyway, we're going in areas we don't need to be going in. You are tuning to Ring Talk Live, but Greg Haugen was a colorful character. He told me a couple times he was going to slug me, and, you know, I sort of took him seriously, so I would stay at a distance. I mean, I wasn't stupid, you know what I'm saying? But the bottom line is Greg, of course, upset Jimmy Paul on the same card that Dwayne Thomas knocked out John the Beast Mugabe. Mugabe was like a 4 or 5 to 1 favorite, and Jimmy Paul was like a 3 to 1 favorite over Greg Haugen. So Emanuel Stewart bet $625,000 on Jimmy Paul against Greg Haugen and lost. And then he didn't have the gumption to bet on Dwayne Thomas against Mugabe because he thought Mugabe would kill him, and Mugabe ended up losing to Dwayne Thomas by a second or third round knockout.
Wow. Yeah, I remember. I know that he won. It was a close fight. Jimmy Paul, he got a majority decision.
Yeah, but
over him, right? It was a split decision?
Yeah, something like that. But Greg was a rough dude. Let me tell you what Greg used to do. Greg was a tough man. He fought in these tough man competitions. And, of course, that was like a $9.95 pay-per-view back in the early days of pay-per-view. But he would beat these guys who were like 210, 220 pounds. He would knock these guys. I mean, these guys were laying flat. And he would give up like sometimes 6-7 inches in height.
Mm.
He was a tough little dude, or he is a tough little dude. But I don't want to be getting into anyway. But the bottom line is, I'll say this, Tommy D. You know what his claim to fame is? Not winning world titles. You know what it is?
What?
Like you being a father.
That's what's up. He's a great guy. I like him because he's a Seahawk fan like me. I know he's from Seattle. Yeah. I'm not, but he's a Seahawk fan. So I definitely like Greg Haugen for that. You know his record. You know I know 39-10, but he's got a good resume. He's fought top guys.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not saying he should be in the Hall of Fame, but he should be, you know, notified.
He should probably be in the Hall of Fame if Vinny's in the Hall of Fame, because Vinny, you know, I mean, I thought he was a better fighter than Vinny to an extent, didn't you?
He lost to Vinny. Did he fight him twice?
They fought him like 3 times. It was a draw, and then I think they split the fights. Something like that.
Yeah, because the first fight or the second fight he lost, that was right after the Jimmy Paul fight.
I've never seen bad blood in my entire life more intense than Greg Haugen and Vinny Pazienza. I'm telling you, if they were both, I've never seen more hate. I've never seen, in all of boxing, bro, I've never seen more hate between two guys than those two guys. Never.
Wow.
Still to this day. Because I talked to Greg about Vinny about 2 years ago. And then I was in Mexico with Vinny about 2.5-3 years ago, and I asked him about Greg, and man, he was like, you should see the look on his face. I said, would you consider talking to Greg? F him. Whoa, brought the wrong thing up, man. So let's let it go. But let's go back to the year 2024. You know, I saw Gervonta Davis in a nice picture with his daughter, his daughter and his wife, and they were all wearing matching pajamas under the Christmas tree. And I think that's all cool, this and that. But you know, what have you done for me lately? What has Gervonta Davis done to be considered such a great fighter thus far? Tell me.
All right, well, he's exciting to watch because you know he's an undefeated fighter and he gets knockouts, right? And that's what people like. People like knockouts. He finishes fights. But as far as the opponents, he's not finding opponents, I guess, you know, what fans want to see him fight with. I mean, he's going to fight Lamont Roach. That's another guy he's bringing up from 130.
No, it's not Lamont. You keep getting it wrong. It's Freddie. It's Freddie Roach.
He's fighting a guy named Roach.
Freddie Roach has Parkinson's disease, okay? I mean, I don't know how he's getting cleared for this fight, but, you know, Davis and those guys do what they can.
Listen, and I don't know how he's getting cleared and how Tank is getting away fighting another guy. He fought, Hector Garcia, who was also at 130, and now he's fighting Roach. And I think Roach is a good fighter, but I just don't think he's the guy that people want to see Tank fight against.
Okay, does this malign of mine, this quip of mine, does it apply to this fight? Size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. Isn't this going to be all about size?
No, not really, because I think Roach physically is a bigger man than Tank. Tank is always going to be at a disadvantage. Tank's a small guy. He's a powerful guy, but he's short. He's always going to be the shorter guy in most fights.
Okay,
you
so
know, he's like what, 5'5"?
Right now, I think the best fighter in the world, and you may disagree with me, but I think it's the Japanese fighter at 122 pounds, Noah Inoue. And I think that Junto Nakatani, the WBC 118 pound champion, is close behind him as far as the top 10 pound for pound concerned. Now, Oleg Usyk, of course, winning over Tyson Fury last week. And, you know, Tyson Fury had a problem with the fight, with the decision as well. He probably should have, because, you know, it's Tyson Fury doesn't want to admit he lost. But I don't know. I thought that Tyson Fury should have done a whole lot more. In other words, there was no desperation in him. I would have been desperate to prove that I was great.
Yeah, I 1,000% agree with you. He didn't show. He didn't. You know, put his use his.
Do we lose Tommy D? We just lost Tommy D. Now, see, now we got jinxed by those Bronx funk. Remember we were talking about just a couple of minutes ago? According to the New York Post, in Brooklyn, 48% of respondents said they often experience poor cellular service and drop calls, followed by the Bronx at 44%. We got them back?
It just put me on hold out of nowhere. Okay.
No, somebody didn't put you hold out. I thought you just, like, buzzed off there.
Nah, you probably do that on purpose.
Listen, you got to pay. Listen, you got to kick down. You got to kick down to the gypsy on the first floor. You have to. He's got that first floor apartment so he can spread the Wi-Fi throughout the building. That's what he's all. That's, don't you get it? This is gypsy Wi-Fi. I understand. Oleg Usyk. Better fighter pound for pound right now than the Japanese fighter?
I'd say right now, because, you know, it's more notable. And, you know, I think if Inoue was supposed to fight, I think this past week, and he didn't get. So, you know.
But that's only been postponed. It's been postponed a month, though, the fight with the British guy.
Yeah, January. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I'll just go with what we've seen more recently. And that was, you know, for Usyk. You know, winning again against Tyson Fury, and, you know, first time being undisputed in the four belt era since, I guess, Lennox Lewis. I mean, that's a great accomplishment. So I would edge Usyk a little bit over Inoue. But honorary mention, I don't know if you brought this guy up, but Bam Rodriguez. I mean, I think he's must see TV. Jesse Rodriguez.
All right, we talked about him in death, and we're going to roll hard to a break here. This is the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. More with Tommy D. Sir Thomas Dillamuth, according to the contract and his agent, coming up after the break.
Listen up, guys. Are you experiencing any of the following? Fatigue, less drive, poor performance? If so, you may be one of the nearly 30 million men in the U.S. today dealing with ED. But did you know you don't have to pay hundreds for a prescription anymore? And you don't have to deal with the hassle of seeing the doctor or the embarrassment of going to the pharmacy for a certain pill. Now, with one free call, you can find out how Herbal Virility Max can help you feel like a man again. For over a decade, Herbal Virility Max has helped guys just like you put a smile back on their face with improved performance and drive. Call today and ask about our buy one, get one free offer.
800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. That's 800-773-5112.
Attention men, here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a nice dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call Steel Man Pills now. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Smooth little love ballad by the Average White Band, which is anything but average. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. I'm going on the road. Looks like I'll be going to Tacoma, Washington. Looks like January the 10th, of course. I'm talking about Kingsley Ibe, of course, our house heavyweight, 16-2 with 12 KOs. Taking on a hobo. Oh, I should take on a guy by the name of Scott Alexander, 17-6, of course. In his last fight, they took Kingsley up there to Washington, and he fought Jack May. Jack May was like 10-0 with like 9 knockouts. And he knocked out Jack in the first round. So the bottom line is Kingsley is on a bit of a roll, and we hope he's going to do well. Of course, he will be with Mike Sapaya. And I didn't tell you the story about Mike Sapaya, or maybe I did. In 1968, Martin Luther King was assassinated, and the black guys at school decided they were going to throw a race riot, right? Well, Mike Sapaya all by himself shut down the entire black community. In fact, these guys went and started tearing up the school, this and that. He kicked all their ass and chased them all out. The last thing I saw was Mike chasing 12 black guys, 10 or 12 black guys, into the park across the street from the school. I kid you not. So Mike Sapaya will be there as well. Of course, that's going to go down at the Emerald Queen Casino. That's going to be January 10th. Of course, this is in Tacoma, Washington, the home of Johnny Bumpus and some sad guys up there. The only guy that came out of the entire Tacoma boxing area scene was Leo Randolph, the 1976 Olympic gold medalist who just retired from his job of late. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Back to the line, the Bronx. Is the phone still working? Click, are you still there?
I'm here.
All right, just checking on that Bronx connection. You know, got to check on that Bronx connection. How's the weather in the Bronx today?
It's a little bit better. I mean, what is it, like high 30s today? You know, I mean, it's nothing like the weather you guys are getting over there.
You know, I got to tell you, man, me and the Impeccable were moaning and bitching about, like, it was like 49 degrees a couple of weeks ago, man. We were like freaking out.
Yeah, actually, it's like I haven't been outside yet. It's actually 55 degrees today, so we're good. Today's a good day.
Okay. Does that mean, is the sun shining, 55 degrees?
Yeah, the sun is shining.
Okay. So you mentioned Saul Alvarez earlier, of course, Canelo. What's he going to do next?
Who knows what he's going to do next? All I hear is them trying to set him up to fight
Gervonta Davis?
No.
I mean, he's got to fight. I mean, he's looking for a guy that he can smoke. He could probably smoke Davis.
He could probably, yeah. But Bud Crawford, it seems like that's what they're trying to do. But I've heard him wanting to get a fight somewhere in the UK to fight Conor Benn. That's another ridiculous fight. So, you know, basically, Canelo's not going to be fighting the guy that we all want him to fight. Okay. You know, so he's going to fight a ham and egger or somebody that doesn't belong in the ring with him.
Okay. Barry on Boxing, Barry Rabbits, of course, my British hair, per se. He was talking about Ryan Garcia. He said that Ryan Garcia is a villain and Ryan Garcia was the black face of all kinds of horrible things about Ryan Garcia. You know, say what you want about Ryan Garcia. He does bring a little color to the dance. I mean, as far as excitement's concerned.
Yeah, I mean, in the ring, yeah, I don't see, you know, anything. It's just his antics outside of the ring.
Well, you wouldn't want to marry to your sister.
No, absolutely not.
Tell you what, I would. I'm not tight with my sister. So you know what, Ryan, go meet. Yeah, Ryan, you need somebody. Go meet my sister Denise. I'm outing my sister on the air. How can I do that? Because I am. Anyway, speaking of a guy that doesn't seem to want to fight anybody as well, another guy, Shakur Stevenson. What's up? Why is he taking like the light road to things? He's going to take on Floyd Schofield's 18-0, but that's going to go down in Saudi Arabia on the 22nd. I guess that's that big card over there with Bivol and Beterbiev doing the rematch?
Yeah, the rematch. He's going to be the co-feature against Floyd Schofield. You know, Floyd, I don't think Kid Austin is ready for you know, Stevenson, but it's going to be a nice payday for Kid Austin. But, you know, I think Shakur, what he should have done, his people should have done, they should have done a better job in trying to negotiate with Tank Davis and made the fight. I think it was there to be made, and they, you know, Tank Davis, I guess, is the A side, and they should have took whatever money and maybe negotiated a little better and made that fight. That's the fight people want to see.
Well, maybe he's scared. When, you know, maybe he's scared. When guys don't want to fight guys and it's like a natural matchups and make big money back and forth on both sides, this and that, and it's not a one-sided fight per se, it makes me think that one guy might be reluctant.
It could be, or maybe he just wants an easy fight, and maybe
I mean, time out, an easy fight. Artem Harturian, who's 12-1, he fought him the last time, went 8-4, 10-2, and 11-1 as far as the rounds were concerned for Shakur Stevenson. Before that, it was Edwin De Los Santos, in case you didn't remember him. That was a 12-round decision as well. Of course, before that, he stopped the Japanese fighter, Shukuro Yoshino. But before that, it was Robinson Canseco, a 12-round decision. I mean, he's supposed to be like the best thing since sliced bread, man. I don't know. He's sort of like stale.
Yeah, I mean, his last performances prove that. You know, he's supposed to be the skillful, very good defensive fighter, right? He's an Olympian. He won the silver medal in the Olympics.
But he fights. You know, but Tommy D, doesn't he fight like a bit of a punk? He's scary. He fights like he's scared. I don't want to get hit. I don't want to say he fights like a girl, because I know girls that are more offensive as far as boxing have better offense than he does. Are willing to throw when he's not willing to throw. That's what it is. He don't want to throw anytime he's in the pocket.
Nah, he doesn't. I mean, he hasn't showed that. And even his corner was trying to get him to do that. He was yelling at his corner in his last fight. So, I mean, we'll see what happens with this fight. This is a fight that's tailor-made for him, so... You know, maybe he goes in there and, you know, he sits on his punches and he stays in the pocket a little bit, and maybe he tries to get Kid Austin out of there, as he should. I think he's the way better fighter, the more experienced fighter. And I expect Shakur to go in there and get a stoppage. If not, it's not going to look very good on him.
Okay, Dmitry Bivol, going back after Artur Beterbiev after that first loss that took place earlier. What's the story on the rematch here? Is Beterbiev going to roll again, or is Beterbiev going to get old in this fight? The guy's 38 going on 90.
I think that's what they're banking on, Bivol's team, is that he's going to get older again. But I think Bivol is going to maybe try to engage more. And I could see Beterbiev getting a stoppage in this fight this time. I think Bivol might step on the gas and just, you know, get caught with something. I thought Beterbiev won clearly in a competitive fight, a close fight, but I thought he won clearly. And I think this fight coming up, if Bivol tries to step on the gas and do more, I think he gets hurt, and I think Beterbiev gets the stoppage.
You know, I brought this up yesterday. The Dominican Republic had 39 boxing shows in 2024. Props to the Dominicans, man. I mean, I think that's real. I think that's great.
Yeah, I think that's awesome, and they got a champion now, Puelo. Puelo's undefeated fighter from the Dominican Republic, and they got a couple of Dominicans that are champions right now, so. You know, shout out to them.
Okay, now we're going to go into the dark side of boxing, you and I, okay? what the hell happened with the kid that committed suicide? Talk to me about that. I sent you that link, didn't I?
Yeah, I read it after we spoke briefly this morning. It's sad. It's sad, and how did they let him, you know, continue to fight? After, you know, it's obvious that he had some sort of brain damage and stuff like that.
Let me cut you off and read this. Of course, we're talking about Paul Bamba, who fought 14 times in a year. He fought 14 times in the year 2024. I mean, the impeccable one doesn't fight that much at bars. Okay, so I can't figure out why he's this guy. 14 times a year breaks Mike Tyson's record or something like that. But according to the headline here in worldboxingnews.net, Paul Bamba fought 14 times a year after brain damage layoff. Say what? 36-year-old passed away suddenly over the past few days. I think they're talking about suicide after he won the WBA gold cruiserweight title on December 21st. It was his 14th fight of 2024, beating a record set by Mike Tyson in 1986. However, before he ran into the record books, Bamba had to take 8 months off due to medical personnel's findings. 3 months after his four-round loss to Chris Avila in April 2023, Bamba and his team were informed of brain damage of the brain that required constant monitoring. The letter dated July 25th, 2020, and sent by Bamba's doctor, Dr. Shirin, said the following. Get this, Tommy D. I am writing you on behalf of my patient, Paul Bamba. Mr. Bamba suffered a concussion and an episode of traumatic diplopia within the past year and now presents with increasing headaches. His exam is notable for positive neurological findings, and his MRI of the brain revealed mild white matter changes in both frontal lobes. Bottom line is, this is obvious brain damage. If you can see it on the MRIs, it's pretty obvious that this guy didn't belong in a boxing ring, let alone 14 times in a year. In New Jersey? I mean, come on. Yeah. Who's this guy Barbosa? Do you know this guy Barbosa, the promoter and the matchmaker?
No, I don't.
We need to crucify him.
Some criminal, you know, and some criminal case, because that's criminal what they let this kid do. You know, besides fighting 14 times, you know, he had to train 14 times too. So, you know, you're in a fight 14 times, you're getting hit in the head, in sparring. I mean, that's insane.
But here's what's up. But he had the brain damage before, and evidently, yeah. If you look at that, reading deeper into the article, he was prevented from one fight, and then another fight they didn't let him fight. And, you know, I mean, he had fights that were announced, had to be called, and this and that. So, I mean, it's not once or twice. It's like three or four different times in his career where they sort of said, you know what, you need to stop. These are red flags. And somehow he didn't do it. And this guy, I think his name was Alex Barbosa. He is the promoter and the matchmaker of this card in New Jersey. If this is the case, and it's pretty obvious that this guy was damaged goods, and people laughed at me yesterday, Tommy D. They were giving me a bad time saying, oh, Pedro blaming boxing, because the guy apparently committed suicide. Listen, you can suffer from a myriad of ailments from being hit on the head. But brain damage is undeniable in this case because they had it on the MRIs. It was on, there were pictures of it.
Wow. It's sad. You know, and he's a young kid, and you know he still has his life to live, and not sure why you know they put him in a ring. That's criminal.
And I want to mention this: how come the Fight News doesn't have any articles on this at all? How come Fight News doesn't have? They don't have an article as far as him winning the title, as far as the WBA cruiserweight title allegedly last week, a 12-round decision, I believe. I take that back. But the bottom line is, they didn't have that. They don't have anything about his nothing. I mean. Fight News, you know, Carl Freitag's done a pretty good job overall, but the bottom line is he won't get involved with anything that involves any balls. He just like, golly gee whiz, you know, Tommy D beat Socrates Palmer via a 4-round decision. It was a good fight. That's Fight News. You hear what I'm saying? When in all actuality, they should be like the Bible of boxing and telling the truth.
Yeah, and as well as these other boxing sites that I go around and tell you. Boxing Scene's another one. I didn't see anything on Boxing Scene in regards to that as well. You know, so...
You know why? You know what? Listen, in the old days, and I know the old days, but there was a boxing media, like there was a political media and a nationwide media, and there was the New York Times and all these different newspapers and magazines and newsletters and radios. In other words, the media was strong. You couldn't get away with the stuff that people get away with nowadays. I mean, do you think that Suleiman could get away with the crap he's getting away with if, like, the New York Times and all of us were writing still every week? No way, no how.
No, I agree with you.
And when's the last time you saw a boxing story in the New York papers that wasn't an Associated Press type of story?
A long time.
What does that say? I mean, is it the media in general, or is it boxing, or is it boxing? I mean, is there a baseball media? You're a big baseball fan, football fan.
Yeah, it's all over, you know, and you have the ESPN. Right, ESPN is supposed to be the league leader, the leader in sports, and you know they're about to get out of boxing as well, right? The contract with Top Rank is about to be up in July, and it looks like Top Rank might be on the zone, but ESPN, they don't report on these things as well.
Are you trying to tell me that Massa Bob of the Top Rank plantation is leaving the ESPN plantation?
This is what they've been reporting, what we've been seeing. So the contract is up. It looks like ESPN is going to go fully with. MMA and UFC.
Ooh, stick around, Tommy D. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. More after the break.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free.
So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D, gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the Pharmacy Shop.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Dr. Fernandez, outside call on line 9. Dr. Fernandez, outside call on line 9.
It doesn't take Dr. Fernandez to figure out that kid shouldn't have been in the ring last week. This is no doubt about it. Of course, 14 fights in a year. I mean, think about that. He's brain damaged, and you're putting him in the ring 14 times in a year, let alone the 14 training camps you talked about. But 14 times? It was like this guy, it was like this was a script for suicide. You know what I'm saying? It was like he scripted this. You feel me?
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. It's sad, and it's crazy. And, nobody, at the end of the day, nobody was really looking out for the kid, you know? So. I don't know what else is there to say, but somebody should investigate that and see what, truly happened. Obviously, the article's there, so somebody's already started something, but they need to push more into it and see about this promoter and this matchmaker, why he let that happen and, why the fighter was allowed to continue fighting.
Well, I read part of one article where the kid was talking. He said, I can't fight. My promotion will issue a letter saying why I can't fight. He had the brain damage and that. And then he said he was going to leave it up. The poor guy, he was being, how can I put this? Somebody was manipulating him. Unless he was paying his own role, like buying guys and buying fights and that, buying four-round opponents, unless he was paying for his own fights, something's criminal here. Even if he was paying for his own fights, it's criminal.
Yeah. No, exactly. It's criminal and it's sad and, but at the end of the day, there's got to be some accountability, for these people that allowed this to happen.
Tommy D, speaking of guys that pay for fights, do guys still, buy 6 and 8 round fights, go around the world, or go into, Oklahoma and this and that, fight hobos to pad their record? Does that still go on?
I think it still goes on. I think people go, not only there, they go to other countries and get fights and, get a little payday and pad their records up. Okay. I think it happens definitely in South America. I mean, it happens in Mexico. I think it happens in Colombia. I think it happens in Argentina. I think it happens all over. Okay. That's why you see these guys from Argentina, undefeated guys with all these knockouts, never fought in the States, come up here and, you know, get these opportunities.
And couldn't lick a stamp if you wet their tongue. Straight up, Tommy D, hug Tamara, hug the wife. We'll talk soon.
All right, Pedro. Take care. Happy New Year.
The great Sir Thomas Dillamuth on the Sports Byline broadcast over Ring Talk returns after the 6-minute news. Straight up, 12:06, 3:06 Eastern Time. Ring Talk returns to the air.
Shorts. I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Geico Insurance and Geico.com. Week 17 NFL action continues as the Bengals keep their postseason hopes alive after they defeated the Broncos in an overtime thriller, with the last AFC playoff spot still up for grabs. Joe Burrow and T. Higgins connected for 3 touchdowns, that final score 30-24. The Los Angeles Chargers clinch a playoff spot after they defeated the New England Patriots in a dominant fashion. That final score, 40-7. And it was a good day for LA fans, as the Rams also get a win over the Cardinals, 13-9. On the NBA scoreboard, the Hawks defeated the Heat, 121-10. OKC thundering past the Hornets, winning 106-94. Knicks beat the Wizards in overtime, 136-132. Bulls get an at-home W against the Bucks, 116-111. Warriors win over the Suns, 109-105. Nuggets defeated the Pistons, 134-121. 76ers traveled to Utah and got a win over the Jazz, 114-111. Trailblazers defeated the Mavericks, 126-122. And the Lakers win at home, 132-122 over the Kings. After becoming bowl eligible for the first time since 2020, Colorado could not win against BYU in the Alamo Bowl. BYU comes up with a W, 36-14. That's your Sports Shorts, presented by Geico Insurance and Geico.com. I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
The Columbia Interchange System was revolutionary when it was designed over 40 years ago, and it's still breaking ground to this day. Featuring 3-in-1 jackets that adapt to fluctuating weather patterns to keep you warm, dry, and protected no matter what. Whatever the weather, Interchange is there. Shop Interchange jackets and more at Columbia.com.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
It's the holiday season, and Mexico's number one beer is here, Corona Extra Beer. Enjoy it responsibly during the holiday season. And enjoy our road shows on Sports Overnight America here on Sports Byline Broadcast. We'll have reporters fanned out across the country at all the major bowl games. The first ever college football championship on Sports Byline and Sports Overnight America. Presented by Corona Beer. Mexico's number one beer is here. Distributed by Crown Distributors, Chicago, Illinois.
Sports in 60 times 2. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Geico and Geico.com. I hope you're having a great weekend. Let's try to enjoy it with two plays of the week. Our college postseason record is 1-1, and we're going to head to San Antonio for BYU and Colorado in the Alamo Bowl Saturday night. Write down this rarity. Only once since 1979 have two conference foes played each other in a non-championship bowl game, and that was Nevada and Colorado State, by the way, in the 2015 Arizona Bowl. This matchup takes place because it's traditionally a Pac-12 versus Big 12 showdown, and Colorado is a legacy Pac-12 team. Colorado quarterback Shedeur Sanders and Heisman Trophy winner Travis Hunter are supposed to play for Colorado, but how much, no one knows. And I question the focus of the Buffaloes. Strength of schedules are similar for the two teams. Each team has fared the same against common opponents, except Colorado lost to Kansas State in Boulder, while BYU drilled the Wildcats 38-9 in Provo. The better offense and defense lies with the Cougars, and so does our pick, BYU plus 3.5 at FanDuel. On the pro side, our play of the week is 9-5-2 after the Seahawks and Vikings pushed last Sunday. We're going to follow the Vikings again to Minneapolis and go against them again and on visiting Green Bay in the late Sunday window. What a job Matt LaFleur has done with the Packers. They've advanced to the postseason 5 of the last 6 seasons under him, the last 2 seasons without Aaron Rodgers, a testament to how LaFleur has groomed Jordan Love. I raved last week about the Vikings' defense, but the Packers are better at number 7 and their offense is number 4 in the NFL, 8 notches higher than Minnesota. But do the stats mean anything at this juncture? Perhaps not, but the fact the Pack is catching less than a field goal on the road with the lesser record is the big sign that they're the right side. Green Bay plus 1.5. Sports in 60 times 2, presented by Geico and Geico.com. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to hour number 2 of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, coming to you emanating from the Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to the show. Of course, I'm also your, besides being your host, I'm also a 4-time Golden Glove champion. It means at one point in time I could fight, and I'm an award-winning boxing writer. So I bring a unique combination to the dance. But guess what? I'm not the average boxing fan. In fact, the average boxing fan, somebody went out and spent a lot of money last week. 1.5 million of us Americans out of 350 million Americans allegedly bought the Tyson Fury Oleg Usyk rematch. I don't believe it, but the bottom line is that's what they're trying to say. Of course, anybody that buys pay-per-view nowadays, I just don't know anybody that does. I mean, I don't. I mean, the impeccable one, nobody buys pay-per-view. So how does pay-per-view exist? I really don't know. Open phone lines around the planet, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. We'll touch on a lot of things this hour. Of course, we're going to touch on Bud Schulberg, Merv Griffin. I'll tell some stories about Merv Griffin. William Bruce Anderson. Of course, he was the guy that ran the Oregon Boxing Commission until I ran him out of town. We'll talk about that. We'll spend some time on the bad corner situation here in 2024. Our two corners, like, basically ruined, I think, a couple of careers, both Tim Zhu and Amanda Serrano, in my opinion. Of course, when your corner fails you, what can you say? I mean, it doesn't get much worse than that. Of course, we'll talk about possibly Noah Noi, of course, and Junto Nakatani, the Battle of All Japan. Of course, they're only 4 pounds apart. Why Nanoa doesn't want to recognize Nakatani just blows me away. I think that Nakatani might be a better fighter than him. I mean, oh, how can you say that when the monster's like the pound-for-pound king? Let me tell you, the monster got knocked down in this fight before last. He's not superhuman. He's human, just like anybody else. And I think that Junto Nakatani, might be the most talented fighter that Japan's had in a long, long time. Scored that knockout of the year, I think, last year. Where was it? In Fresno or Tucson? Something. Bottom line is, he was on ESPN. He looked real great, and I think that Nakatani might be the better fighter of the two there in Japan. Now, if you got a problem with that, let me know. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. Speaking of Nakatani, he's going to defend that WBC 118-pound title, of course, 29-0, 22 KOs, putting the crown on the line against Mexican puncher. I don't know if he's that much of a puncher. David Cuellar, 28-0, 18 KOs. Yeah, 18 KOs because of 28 fights. But the bottom line is, that's probably not going to be a good day for the Mexican fighter. I think that Nakatani is pound for pound one of the better fighters in the world. In fact, right now in the top 10, we've never had it before. Two Japanese fighters in pound for pound in the top 10. I don't think I've ever seen it before in the world of boxing or in history. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, Car Shield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call Car Shield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with Car Shield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-425-2317. 800-425-2317. That's 800-425-2317.
We all love children, and many of us have an old car, truck, or van in the driveway. Find the Children has a great way for you to put your unwanted vehicle to good use. Keep listening. Every year, thousands of kids go missing. Trust me, it's a parent's worst nightmare. When a child goes missing, every moment counts, and you need all of the help you can get. Find the Children is a nonprofit organization dedicated to locating missing children and bringing them home safely. You can help support their mission by donating your car, truck, van, or SUV. A towing company will come and pick up your car for free, running or not, and the donation of your car is tax deductible. Your help is providing the funds they need to continue their services. Call now, donate your old vehicle to Find the Children and get free pickup. Here's the number.
800-670-7830. 800-670-7830. 800-670-7830. That's 800-670-7830.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Everybody's mad at the white man. Get guys blowing up federal buildings because they're mad at the government. Get the Latinos. Did you see that last week right here in L.A.? Picketing all the networks. You know about this? The Hispanics, the Mexicans. I don't know what the hell to call you this week. But the Mexican people were picketing the networks saying that during prime time, you will see no Latinos on TV. What are you talking about? You got cops? You got America's Most Wanted? Why? You have Adventures of the Highway Patrol? There are shows for everybody. If you took the time to check your local listings, instead of bitching so much, you'll see there's shows for everyone. Not you, there's an Asian guy in the front row. After Margaret Cho, you had your shot, it didn't work out. All right, back to the kitchen. Sorry, pal.
The retired pit bull of comedy, Sid Yidvicious. That was his nickname, Yidvicious. I'm talking about Bobby Slayton, of course, retired after his wife. His wife was hit by a car about 8 or 10 years ago in Mexico. She was a tourist. They were together. They were in Mexico, Mexico City or something like that. And she stepped off a curb and she got hit by a car and she died. And not because of the car accident, she got sepsis or something. The bottom line is the hospital wasn't cool and she died in the hospital down there. And of course, Bobby's never been the same. Of course, he retired about 2-3 years ago. Speaking of a guy, somebody asked me about Bud Schulberg the other day. Of course, Bud Schulberg was the guy that wrote the movie, the screenplay, The Harder They Fall and On the Waterfront with Marlon Brando and that kind of good stuff. And he told me at one point in time when I met him, I think it was about 2000. He died in 2009. I guess it was about 2003, 2004. He was real lucid. He was clear. We talked about Brando. We talked about boxing. We're at the Diego Corrales fight against the Brazilian fighter up there in Foxwoods, Connecticut. And he was real clear. I mean, he talked about, he even came on my show a couple of times. Maybe you guys remember that. But the bottom line is, Bud Schulberg was a nice guy without a doubt. And people ask me, who I think, you know, was the best boxing movie of all time. I still think the best boxing movie of all time was the corniest boxing movie of all time. That was the greatest. I thought the movie about Muhammad Ali, when he played himself, I thought that was a bit cheesy, but the bottom line is that's my favorite boxing movie without a doubt. No, I just said the way it is. Oh, and as far as somebody said to me, when are you going back to Atlantic City? I haven't been to Atlantic City in a long time. Of course, I'd like to go back, spend some time at the Irish Pub. Maybe that was our hangout back there. The boxing media all hung out at the Irish Pub. But big fights in AC, they aren't happening. They're happening in Atlantic City. And speaking of AC, I'll never forget when Merv Griffin had this TV show. It was like the Merv Griffin show. It was like a big, like the Tonight Show, but it was in the afternoon. Mike Douglas had one show, and then Merv Griffin came on after him. So he was all over the country. His name was Merv Griffin. And I had no idea that the guy was like, I'll put it this way. How can I put this? Anyway, I go to Atlantic City. I'm a young kid, young guy. I'm in the 20s. I'm working a television gig, and I'm at his resort. It kept Resorts International. I think that was the name of the casino that Merv Griffin owned. So anyway, Merv Griffin comes up and he meets the TV team. I think it was me and Hugh Millay. And he goes, I go, I'm Pedro Fernandez. I'm from San Francisco. And Merv's gay. Okay? So I didn't know that Merv was gay. So when Merv grabbed my hand, he sort of shook it like with his finger like that. And I'd say, ah! Anyway, a little gaydar there, but good old Merv Griffin, may he rest in peace. Pretty good guy here. And I do want to mention the bad corners. I mean, the bad corners that happened this year in the world of boxing, of course, Amanda Serrano, the fact that her corner wouldn't stop the fight when she was probably ahead in that fight for the most part. I'm talking about against the young lady from Ireland. But when you look at the fact that the cut was almost to the bone, of course, the corner didn't stop it, the doctor didn't stop it, the referee didn't stop it, she didn't stop it. Nobody stopped this. They just let that crap go. That was crazy. She may be scarred for life, without a doubt, and she might not be able to fight for an extended period of time, maybe a year, year and a half. That's how deep that cut was. It was to the bone. You could see the bone, the white marrow. I kid you not. So, but she wasn't the only one. Tim Tszyu fought Sebastian Fedor, I think, in March. And get this. Tim Tszyu's like a hot star on the way up, okay? He is the son of former world champion Kostya Tszyu. Of course, Kostya Tszyu, 140-pound champion out of Australia, originally out of Russia. He fought Australia. But the bottom line is Tim Tszyu, bit of an Australian star down there, selling all kinds of tickets to 15, 20,000 seats in Australia without a doubt, okay? So they were trying to groom him as an American star. So they had him come over here, and they had him fight Sebastian Fedora. Actually, he was supposed to fight Keith Thurman. Supposed to fight Keith Thurman. Keith Thurman's a pedestrian type of fighter, an easy win for Fedora. An easy win for Tszyu. But instead, they put Sebastian Fedora in there. Sebastian Fedora is 6'5". 2 weeks before you're going to fight this guy, 10 days before, they put in a 6'5" opponent that can punch a little bit. That don't sound cool to me, okay? So anyway, he gets beat up there. When he gets cut in the second round, of course, the referee doesn't stop it. The corner doesn't stop it. He doesn't get it stopped. The bottom line is Tim Tszyu bled like a pig for the entire fight. 12 rounds later, of course, 10 rounds later, it was a 12-round decision. The other guy won. No surprise there, okay? Amanda Serrano lost. Tim Tszyu lost, basically, I think, because of inept corners. So when you look at the fact that corners are supposed to be out there looking for the best of the fighter, it didn't happen twice this year, no doubt about that. You are tuning to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Want to mention the fact that Tommy the Duke Morrison, of course, man, God, Tommy Morrison, of course, when was he born? January 2nd, 1969. Of course, he was the Duke per se. Said he was the distant cousin or a nephew or something like that of John Wayne, the famous actor, and this kind of stuff. Listen, Tommy was a good fighter. As far as him having HIV and dying, that's some of his ex-wife, his current wife, or the widow, or whatever. Bottom line is, she says he died of something other than AIDS, okay? But the bottom line was when he was about to fight in Las Vegas, Nevada, he tested positive for HIV. Before that, he had avoided all these different HIV tests by some means. He would come in late. I mean, he was a white guy. It sort of gave him a pass, okay? So he got a pass, Tommy Morrison did, and a lot of states didn't test him for HIV. Anyway, bottom line is, I saw an interview with his mother, and she implied that he had HIV 8 or 10 years before they found out, okay? And of course, man, he was a good fighter, no doubt about that. And I think his biggest win, in my book, was when he beat Razor Ruddock, and I thought the referee, Ron Lipton, pulled the trigger a little bit too soon there, because Lipton, of course, looking for a way, I think, for the house guy to win. And of course, Tommy Morrison was a house guy. We're in Kansas City, Missouri. Of course, Roberto Duran was on the card, but this 10 or 12 round main event between Razor Ruddock and Tommy the Duke Morrison, I mean, these guys were slugging at it, going back and forth. It was good. And then Morrison dropped him in the fifth round, and Ron Lipton stopped the fight. But anyway, Tommy the Duke Morrison, the last time I saw him was that same evening. He was getting his eyes stitched up by a doctor in a hotel room a couple of blocks away. So at the end of the day, I said to myself, Tommy, maybe I'll see him again. But I didn't see him again. He tested positive for HIV, and of course, he never fought again. Take that back. He did go fight once, I think, in Japan. So they let him fight in Japan, of course. And he kept telling people he didn't have HIV. I couldn't figure that out. He was so adamant that he didn't have HIV. And get this. There's two ways he could have caught it, you know, because Tommy did some steroids. When you do the kind of steroids, you got to use needles, isn't it? So if you use somebody else's needle, that's like a ticket to death, okay? Or Tommy used to get laid a lot. I mean, Tommy got laid more than carpets, more than rugs. I kid you not. He was, that one night back there in Kansas City, there was like 8 or 10 chicks. I came out of his dressing room. There's 8 or 10 chicks standing there, all different dimensions. Different ethnic groups, I think. On bottom line is he had 8 or 10 chicks there waiting for him to come out. They were throwing themselves on Tommy the Duke Morrison, and he had HIV. So, whoa! And he wasn't telling anybody. So, whoa! How many chicks did Tommy the Duke Morrison infect before he ended up getting popped? That's the real big question as far as he's concerned. Of course, his career, when they took George Foreman's fight away from him, and sort of, Tommy the Duke Morrison, not too much as far as heavyweight contenders are concerned. As far as I wouldn't make him all-time great, but as far as the white hopes are concerned, they keep bringing him up, the fact he can punch. Yeah, he can punch, but it ain't no big thing in my mind. Of course, you've got to be able to catch, and the fact that he hid that HIV for so long, and apparently... And that he could have infected other fighters if he didn't. He could have infected other chicks, and probably he did. I mean, because he wasn't doing the safe sex thing. I mean, Tommy the Duke Morrison was a stud. In fact, I don't want to say it, but the bottom line is I had some interaction with a lady that said she had interaction with him, and she claimed to have never wore a condom. So he was HIV positive at this point in time, and she was sort of she hit the lottery. I mean, think about that. She had to hit the lottery. She had sex with a guy that had HIV and didn't get HIV. Holy cow. Holy cow. Speaking of holy cow, February 1st on pay-per-view, David Benavidez, undefeated. Of course, was he 29-0 now? 26 knockouts, taking on David Morrell. Morrell's like 11-0. Of course, the 11-0 with like 9 or 10 knockouts. Guys, this is a good fight, no doubt about it. Of course, Tommy D's picking David Morrell. This is going to be on Showtime pay-per-view, I believe. Of course, it'll be worth mine. Wink, wink. It just will. I mean, but I'll be there live, I think. I'm going to go down live and watch this with my attorney, I believe, Mark Christmas. Speaking of Las Vegas, I'm headed to Las Vegas to see Ron Isley. That's right, the 83-year-old singer of the Isley Brothers. He's been around since 1959, doing hits since 1959. I'm going down to see him, and hopefully I'll spend some time with Mr. Mark Risman. And maybe Eva Futch will come out to the event. I'm talking about, of course, the wife of the late, great trainer. I'm talking about Eddie Futch, the godfather, the guy, Papa Smurf, call him what you want. I miss him without a doubt. He was one of my great mentors. And, you know, I'll never forget what he told me the last time I saw him. He was in a wheelchair, and he didn't seem like he was doing real good physically. And I said to him, "Godfather, are you okay?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm okay, Pete. I'm Pedro. I'm okay. Physically, I'm okay. It's just a long walk from the gate." So I took the wheelchair. I said, "Okay." And then he grabbed me by the hand. He goes, "But mentally, I'm slipping." And that was freaky. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624. Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation.
What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I hope that you understand that not one single person, not one single committee can do anything for boxing. It is absolutely necessary that we all get together, we work together, we respect each other, we like and love each other.
The late Jose Suleiman, president of the World Boxing Council, good guy in my book. Of course, some people had problems with him, and of course, he wasn't, how can I put this? He hung around with some nefarious guys, no doubt about that. And of course, he was able to skirt in between, but the bottom line is, may he rest in peace. Talking about Jose Chagrón Suleiman. Straight up, he was a good guy to me. Of course, one time he sent me to Istanbul to deliver an envelope for him. I kid you not. He said to me, Pedro, I need you to take a trip for it. I said, well, where am I going? Because, you know, he sent me to Nicaragua one time to take care of Alexis Arguello. He sent me to Puerto Rico on another instance. Bottom line is, he took me to France, took me to Spain. Bottom line is, Jose Suleiman took me all around the world. But when he sent me to Istanbul, I met with a guy in a hotel, and I gave him an envelope, and that's all I did. I met with him in the hotel. I got on the plane the next morning. I went home. But, you know, Suleiman took care of me, and I think I got a couple $1,000 for doing that. He said he didn't trust anybody else with this matter but me, and I thought that was really cool. Bottom line is, may he rest in peace. So I'm talking about, of course, Jose Suleiman. Edwin Rosario. Wow, remember Edwin? El Chapo, of course, died December 1997 at his parents' home in Puerto Rico. Of course, Taobao, a suburb of San Juan. But the bottom line is, he died from an overdose. And, of course, he was a guy that, it was a little weird. Let me tell you how weird it was, that how Edwin Rosario sort of crossed into my life. I always thought that I could beat Loretto Garza. Loretto Garza was a WBA 140-pound champion out of Sacramento, California. I thought that when he left the Golden Gloves, he was going to fight in the, he never won no Golden Glove titles. But the bottom line is, he got out of the Golden Gloves when he saw Keith Rucker. He saw these guys like Keith Rucker, and I don't think he was scared of me, but I think he was scared of Keith Rucker. So he got out and turned pro because of Keith Rucker. Of course, and then I went out and smoked Keith Rucker. Of course, nobody thought I could, but the bottom line is, you know, I gave up the height, all the hype, all that kind of good stuff. And of course, 12 seconds of the fight, I almost spit on him. That's how disgusted I was. But I didn't. Of course, didn't get disqualified by the referee, Brent Venegas, even though I was threatened to. Pushed me back to the neutral corner. I ended up winning a decision. Of course, that was the end of Mr. Rucker's career, as I broke a couple of facial bones. And that was, you know, I sort of said, that was enough. But the bottom line is, Edwin Rosario and Loretto Garza. Of course, they hooked it up in Sacramento, California. But I thought Loretto, as I said, left the amateurs because me and Keith Rucker was, you know, on his tail. So he turns pro. And Don Chargan sort of hooks him up with a lot of good promoters. Don Chargan was the boy promoter. He's a man that ran boxing at the Olympic Auditorium from 1957, I think, until 1975 or 76, somewhere around there. Of course, it was always on network television once a week. And of course, then he started his cards up there in Sacramento, California, brought his champions like the aforementioned Loretto Garza, the WB 140-pound champion, and of course, Tony the Tiger Lopez, the two-division, two-time champion, both at 130 pounds and 135 pounds, all coming out of Sacramento, California. So, Don Chargan, he matches Rosario and and Garza together. You know what I'm saying? I say to myself, you know, Rosario comes in all fat and this and that. He's got fat hanging around his waist. And he doesn't look too dedicated. But then again, if I thought I could beat Loretto, I think that Edwin's going to beat Loretto. You know what I'm saying? So what happened was Loretto was like a 3.5 or almost like a 4-1 favorite. And Rosario went out there and spanked him. I just spanked him. And it wasn't even close. Of course, he fought. Continued up until 1997, did Edwin Rosario. Of course, he died as a heroin overdose. But, you know, I'm looking at his record here. He was on a pretty good streak. He lost to Frankie Randall in 1993, was off until 1997, came back in 1997 and stopped the guy in 4 rounds, Maurice Robertson, who was like, had a horrible record, a losing record. Another guy with a losing record, Calvin Moody, the famous Calvin Moody. Get this, when Rosario fought him in 1997, in June to be exact, June 7th, in Puerto Rico, no, Miami, Florida, the guy was 9-49. And the Athletic Commission sanctioned that. The guy's 9 wins of 49 losses, and he takes on a former world champion. Champion, a former two-time world champion, two-division world champion, and Edwin Rosario, you got to be kidding me. Then Rosario beat a guy by the name of Roger Benito Flores. He was 8-5. Then he beat Sanford Ricks, who was 19-4. Sanford could fight a little bit. That was a little bit of a surprise. He stopped Sanford in the eighth round of an eighth-round fight, but Sanford could fight a little bit. I was a little bit surprised that Rosario beat him. And then his last fight, 3 months before he died, September of 1997, he beat a guy by the name of Harold Benn, who came in a record with 18-16. Of course, that was in Bayamon, Puerto Rico, where I think he died. But the bottom line is, he messed around with that heroin, man, and I just don't get it. And, you know, you see people now, heroin has, like, been, like, listen, the stuff that they're taking now, I was a cop. I was a narc, a narcotics agent here in San Francisco for the SFPD. That's what I did for a while. I kid you not. Both undercover and straight up in uniform. But the narc stuff that I did, the Bayview Narcotic Task Force and the regional task force here and there, bottom line is I got to see a lot of dope. A lot of hard drugs. We didn't mess with weed and that kind of stuff. But I saw a lot of hard, take that back, once in a while they did. But the bottom line is I saw a lot of hard drugs, okay? And heroin, like, blew my mind. And the reason why it blew my mind was my father had a heroin problem. My stepfather had a heroin problem. So I said to myself, good Lord, what's the lure here? What's the lure here? Well, both those guys told me it was the greatest high they ever had in their entire life. So, okay, forget that. But they were able to kick. Both guys were able to kick. Both my stepfather and my father were able to kick this heroin, okay? Nowadays, these guys taking this fentanyl, you can't kick it. They just can't. I think it's unkickable. I think it's an unkickable drug. And I've never said this before. So I think there is no hope for these guys that are hooked on fentanyl. Unless they somehow turn their lives around, some miracle from God or something like that, if you believe in God. But the bottom line is, I don't think you can be cured from it. There's no rehab coming back from this stuff. If you saw people all over the country, and that's not here in California, in San Francisco, in Oakland, and places like that, Salinas, in L.A., I mean, you see people bent over. I saw a dude the other day. I was doing surveillance in the Tenderloin here in San Francisco, and there was a guy bent over, and he was bent over like as bent over as you can be. In other words, it was like his body was a U-turn. You know what I'm saying? One big U-turn, right? So I saw him there, and I was doing some surveillance, and I came back 2 hours later, and the dude was still there in the same position. That's how incredibly strong these drugs are. That's what I'm trying to say is I don't think there's any way. I don't know how I got off on this tangent, because Rosario died of a drug overdose, but I just don't think that. I don't think this stuff is kickable. I really don't. I think it's been programmed and chemically put together to where you can't kick it. It's just like you're hooked for life. There's no doubt about it. And I don't know what that says about for all the people that are hooked on this stuff. And how do they get hooked? By Big Pharma. Who's Big Pharma? You know, like the drug manufacturers. And I'm not talking about homie down the corner selling heroin. I'm talking about the Big Pharma, the big drug manufacturers. Of course, those guys, they made a lot of money on selling those opiates, saying that they weren't addictive, oxycodone, things like that. They weren't addictive. Sort of like what the tobacco company said about, you know, about cigarettes for all those years. So it wasn't addictive, so no big thing, right? All right, but the oxycodone and that stuff was addictive. So all these people got hooked on it, and what happened was white America got hooked on it, and if they didn't get their dope from a druggist, from a pharmacist, they tried to get different prescriptions, things like that, they went down to the corner and ended up buying what they thought was heroin, but it's fentanyl. It's fentanyl to a certain extent. So guys were ODing left and right here in San Francisco when I was a cop. I said, what's going on here? These guys are ODing, and they were using fentanyl back then, okay? But then it went away, and it made a major comeback. And now I think everybody on the streets is, like, hooked on this fentanyl. I don't know what to say as far as a you know, I'm one of those guys that, when I was a cop, they called me a social worker. That's what they said. You know, he's a good social worker. Well, what do you mean by that? Was that some type of knock? But they put me in community relations because I was a good social worker. Because I thought that, you know, one time, I'll tell you a little story, a little police story here before we go to a break. I guess I was a rookie. I was on the job maybe like a week, 2 weeks. I'm talking about on the job, on the street. I left the academy. I was on the street, and we're in the Tenderloin, which is like the roughest part of town here in San Francisco. Still is. But back then, it was a bunch of bums and winos and things like that. And I saw one guy that was on the corner, and he was asking for money, and he looked really bad. I mean, you know, he didn't look like he was a drunk. Like, he wasn't drunk. He wasn't obviously on drugs or anything. He just looked haggard. He looked like downtrodden, this and that. So I sort of felt bad for him, so I gave him a couple of bucks. And my FTO, my field training officer, who was Daniel Ferretti at the time, and he said to me, he said, why'd you give him the money? I said, because he needs it more than I did. And he left it at that. So I didn't know this, but a year later, when I looked back at my FTO report cards, they were calling me a social worker, this and that, and they pegged me for the community relations division back when I was a rookie, a recruit. I kid you not. So about 4 or 5 years later, of course, I went into community relations. That lasted 2 years until I stepped on somebody's wang. When you step on somebody's wang in the police department, you have to pay. This is no doubt about it. Of course, I went to a class one point in time, a class. I was teaching a class at Alvarado Elementary School for the police department on Scared Straight, this and that. And some black kid asked me, if you go to jail, do you get booty busted? Stupid me, I said, yeah. And then what did the kid do? He went out of recess and told all the white kids what booty busted meant. And the bottom line is the white mothers got actually upset. They came to the school, they put a stink. That was the end of my community relations run. I was back on the street. Speaking of back on the street, February 1st, back on the street. Watch this fight. It's a street fight, no doubt about that. David Benavidez, I mentioned him before. Of course, the guy I thought at one point in time was on a position to destroy Canelo Alvarez, but I think he may have hit his peak and he may be on the downward slide, even though he's still 20, like 28, 29. A reason why I say that is that I think that, you know, there comes a point in time where a guy has his peak and it's right in front of him. And I think it might have passed David Benavidez. Of course, he's taking on David Morrell for the WBC interim and the WBA regular light heavyweight title. Of course, David Benavidez is the monster. David Morrell, of course, the Cuban superstar, no doubt about that. This is a battle of the undefeated. Somebody's always got to go. And of course, Socrates Palmer, I believe, and Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, and Sir Thomas Dillamuth. I think they're both taking David Morrell, so I'm going to be the underdog here. I'm probably going to go with David Benavidez. That's just the way it is. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. When we come back on the other side of the break, I'll spend some time talking about Gene Kirway, Muhammad Ali's manager. A bit of, what's the word I want to use? Eccentric guy. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
One last question. At the end of your life, whether it was Allah who was saying it, Elijah Muhammad, or whether it was something that someone wrote about you after you'd gone, what's the thing you would most like people to say about your life? He was a great champion, or what? What would you like people to think about you when you've gone?
I'd like for them to say he took a few cups of love. He took one tablespoon of patience. One tablespoon, teaspoon of generosity, one pint of kindness. He took one quart of laughter, one pinch of concern, and then he mixed willingness with happiness. He added lots of faith, and he stirred it up well. Then he spread it over a span of a lifetime, and he served it to each and every deserving person he met.
Muhammad Ali, thank you very much.
Over the shoulder of Muhammad Ali for many, many years, if not decades, was a guy by the name of Gene Kilroy. He's 83 years old, 83 years young, still living in Las Vegas or outside of Las Vegas, Henderson, Nevada, to be exact. That's where everybody lives. Nobody lives in Vegas. They live in Henderson, Nevada. If you live in Vegas, you got to be Oscar living on the Strip or living in like some tenement hotel. I kid you not. It's either the upper class or the no class as far as Vegas is concerned, because Henderson, Nevada is a little bit different. Anyway, bottom line is, oh, man, Oscar De La Hoya, $14 million condo he bought on the Las Vegas Strip. Think about that, a $14 million condo. Holy cow, more power to him. Anyway, bottom line is Gene Kilroy is often seen in movies with Muhammad Ali and news clips with Muhammad Ali, and he was his quasi-manager and quasi-spokesperson, this and that. What he was a bit of an eccentric in my mind. Of course, I had some good positive runs with him, and a couple times I had some negative runs with him, and I could never understood the negative runs. In other words, you can see somebody, hi, how are you, this and that, and you see him the next time, and he's like, looking at you like, yeah, you know, like, what the... So I couldn't figure out whether maybe he was, like, spacing out and not figuring out who I was. Because, you know, most people, if they forget my face, they recognize a voice. That's what they... I mean, they recognize a voice. Anyway, Gene Kilroy, the last couple times I saw him, it was, like, mixed reviews. So I'm trying to get him on next week's show as far as a live interview is concerned. But the bottom line is, here he is on his relationship with Muhammad Ali.
Randy, how you doing? Nice to sit here with you from Big D.
Oh, yeah.
The Motor City.
Definitely. Thank you.
I had always great times there.
Oh, good. Can you tell me just a little bit about what you first saw in Ali that you knew like something more was there than just boxing?
He was an individual that always had time for the poor, the powerless, the oppressed, the deprived. One time we played a little game with him. We're at the training camp, and we said, let's have some fun with Ollie, and he drove up with his brother. And I say, Muhammad, there's a lady who was collecting some money for the unknown soldier's mother. He said, well, we got to give her a check.
We were in Deer Lake, Pennsylvania one time. There was a little boy there. He looked frail, and he wanted to meet Muhammad Ali. I said, no problem. And I brought the boy in and his dad. Muhammad looked at the boy, and he said, why do you have this hot wool hat on? He said, it's so hot out there today.
He said, I got leukemia and I lost all my hair. I'm getting this chemo. And Ali said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to beat George Foreman and you're going to beat leukemia.
And just to piggyback off that a little bit, when was a moment for you when you just realized, like, wow, like, I am witnessing history and what's going on? Like, when was that moment for you?
You know, being a white man accepted by the black Muslims and all, so like Jim Brown said, you're a very special person, you know, and I had a lot of backings from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Minister Farrakhan, Herbert Muhammad, because I remember one time meeting with Elijah Muhammad, and he told me that he said, there's a greater power than us, than we have you with us, Allah has you here. You know, he said, man judges man's action, God judges man's heart. So we know where your heart is. And I will say this, that if Muhammad didn't accept Islam, he would have been just another fighter.
And you mentioned earlier, even before the camera started rolling, just about your fondness for Detroit. And one of the things I always ask when I have an opportunity to speak with people is just the feeling that they had coming to Detroit and just what are some of the positive things that they feel about the city.
You know, Tommy Hearns, Isaiah Thomas, Jack McCluskey from my hometown, a little town, 2,000 people. He ended up putting a championship team there. And when I look back over and I say, how comes Jack McCluskey isn't in the NBA Hall of Fame? You know, this is unbelievable. This is a great man, and he's loved in Detroit, the Motor City, Big D. They love Jack McCluskey, and that's part of my history, you know.
If Ali was able to really, you know, communicate, what would be one of the things that you think he would say today?
Well, you know, we spoke many times. I was blessed to be around him 4 o'clock in the morning, getting ready for road work, go here, go there. I ask him, who would win? Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali. Now, that's a good question. People never ask him. He said that Muhammad Ali would be Cassius Clay. Then I asked him one time, if you had anything to change, what would you change? He said, I wouldn't change anything. It wouldn't be me. You know, that was him. He wouldn't change. It wouldn't be him. The way he was made him who he is, what he is today. Yeah, yes. And I lived it. I was blessed to be there.
Definitely. Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Gene Kilroy, we'll have him on live next week if things go well. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look in the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, Ali did a lot of super things. Like, he talked about the kid and cancer and things like that. I told you, we were in China, and we stopped this train in the middle of China, and these people were Chinese hillbillies. I mean, they had no teeth. Their teeth were rotted out of their mouth. I mean, there were no dentists, no medical people, and there was no toilets there. There was no running water. It was like they were cavemen, Chinese cavemen and women. But they knew who he was. When we stopped the train, they came up to the train. I was looking at these poor people walking up the train. Like, some of them had shoes, and they had. It was like, it was really, really. It was like I couldn't imagine poverty like that ever existing in my lifetime. And I saw it then in 1994 in China. Anyway, but there were a couple people in the crowd that fainted, and you know, people knew who he was. Yet they had no internet. They had no newspapers, per se. They had no media. All they had was that one electrical line, I think, coming into town. One electrical line. But outside of that, they didn't have it. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. And, of course, I told you, we were in Macau, and Ali's... I got him sparring with some old man. In other words, you know, like a little sparring thing. The guy's like a 85 or 90-year-old Chinese man, and they were in this old convent. We had him in a Catholic convent. We met him in a Catholic convent because that's when Ali told the bus driver, you know, told me to tell the bus driver, hey, take us to a hospital or something like that. And the guy says, well, you know, we're on a plan. I said, no, we have the plan. We're doing this. So the bottom line is he took us to this convent, and these kids were, like, crippled, and these old men were disabled, this and that. And, you know, at the end of the show, after Ali did some sparring with a couple of guys and did some kissing of babies, that kind of good stuff, he says to me, give me your money. I said, say what? He goes, give me your money. I mean, unless, you know, somebody says give me your money, it's Muhammad Ali. What do? I give him my money. Okay, so I reached in my pocket, my wallet, I think I had like $400 or $500 in cash, and he just sort of like Judy Jetson or Jane Jetson in that TV cartoon show, The Jetsons, where she snatches the money out of her husband's hand at the beginning of each cartoon show. But the bottom line is he snatched that $400 out of my hand. He gave it to the nun. The nun ended up getting $1,200 in total. That was the entitled take from our entire party, $1,200. And she told Muhammad Ali that was enough to buy her, the kids, and the old men and the old ladies food for an entire year. This was 1994. $1,200 was going to buy them food for an entire year, and it was going to buy them meat. They were going to eat meat. They weren't going to eat not just rice. So the bottom line is Ali was a guy that was a special. No doubt about that. I really miss him. Boxing manager Dave Wolf died on December 23rd, 2008. Dave Wolf was a good guy. Let me tell you about Dave Wolf. He was a manager of Boom Boom Mancini first, and then, of course, he became the manager of Donnie Lalonde. And he had the worst toupee in boxing. Take that back. He had the second worst toupee in boxing. The worst toupee in boxing went to Don Stewart, who ran the Newman's Gym here in San Francisco. That was the worst. His toupee looked like a hockey helmet all it needed was a chin strap. That's how bad Don's was. Of course, Don Henry Stewart ran Newman's Gym for about 25 years. But anyway, Dave Wolf had the second worst toupee in boxing, but he was the manager of both Boom Boom Mancini and Donnie Lalonde. And I'll never forget when Donnie Lalonde and Ray Leonard were going to fight. I think it was in 1988. Ray Leonard would stop him, of course, when he stepped up to 168, 175. They fought for both belts at 168 pounds for the World Boxing Council. Of course, that was in Las Vegas, Nevada. Ray Leonard got knocked down by Donnie Lalonde. I knew right then and there that he was in all kinds of trouble. Not Ray Leonard, Donnie Lalonde. Because once you knock Ray down and you piss him off, good Lord, you've got an animal coming off the canvas. I said, one of the best fighters in the history of boxing, without a doubt, the greatest welterweight of all time. I mean, he just was. Really was. So anyway, I brought a tape measure with me because Donnie Lalonde never had his reach measured. In other words, nobody ever measured his reach because of the fact that he couldn't hold his right arm. He couldn't hold his right arm up over his head. He had some surgery and this kind of stuff, a rotator cuff. So he couldn't hold it up over his head. So me, I was at a press conference at the SF Hilton here, the SF Hilton Hotel at the airport, and I brought out my tape measure, and Jack Fisk says, you're not going to get away with that. I go, watch, I'm going to get away with it. Watch, I'm going to, because I plotted this beforehand, and I was going to be the one that got Donnie Lalonde's measurements, okay? So the bottom line is, I break out the tape measure, and Dave Wolf is looking in the other directions. So I get Donnie to put up his arms, this and that, and I put up the tape measure, and Dave Wolf goes, what are you doing? Like I was committing a crime, this and he reached in, and he pulled the tape measure down. But the bottom line is, I want to know what Lalonde's reach was, because if Lalonde was as big as he was, and he was a 175-pound champion at that point in time, he might have been too big for Ray Leonard at that point in time, right? But not really. Ray, of course, a guy that had fought at 147 pounds, actually turned pro at 147, having fought in the Olympics at 139. And that's what sort of convinced me later on in life that I was fighting in the wrong division, because he and I were both in the same weight class, junior welterweights, light welterweights, 139 pounds. Now, Ray was like 2-3, almost 4 inches bigger than me. In fact, I found that out when I was in camp with him down there for the Tommy Hearns fight, the Tommy Hearns rematch in June of 1989, when we spent that time in West Palm Beach, Florida together about a couple of weeks. But the bottom line is, he was bigger than me. I mean, he was huge. So I couldn't imagine. That's why, when I fought Vincent Webb was a 9th-ranked guy in the world, in the country, here in the United States. I think he was ranked like 15th in the world. But anyway, 9th in the country when I fought him for the in the Western Olympic trials, and he beat me on decision. But the bottom line is, I realized right then and there that I was fighting in the wrong weight class. And it's sort of tough when you find this out when you're at the upper echelon of boxing. You see what I'm trying to say? I mean, when I was smoking guys like blunts here in California and then going down to the valley and racking up my record by beating up a bunch of guys off the farm and guys like that, okay, it ain't the same. It just ain't the same. You fight world-class guys, you find out quick what world-class is all about. And of course, I found out a few different times. In fact, I would have to say that somebody said to me,
was the high and what was low of your boxing life? I think the high was Muhammad Ali, of course. No, the highest personally concerned, I think it was beating Keith Rucker in that first Golden Glove Championship fight because nobody thought I could win. They all showed up to watch me lose. They all, Don Chargan sent his guy down. Forum Boxing sent up, Son Jackson sent somebody up from L.A. to watch this guy, Keith Rucker. I mean, oh, they were hot on Keith Rucker, right? Mm-hmm. Pissed me off. Remember when my mother came into the dressing room, she said something like, Hector tells me there's a lot of media guys out here. Something like that. So media guys? Yeah, reporter. Okay. So what are you trying to say, Mom? Blah, blah, blah. Mom goes, but they're not here to see you. You should make them change their mind or something. She said something like that. She was a great motivator. So I went out there, and Keith Rucker went down 12 seconds of the first round. He had some broken bones in his face. He did get up and go the three-round limit. I do give him the props for that. But the bottom line is he never fought again. I ruined him. And, of course, I ruined him because of the fact that everybody said I couldn't. When they say you can't, I can't. Straight up, this is Ring Talk, live worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing.
Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
Keep listening for a free virus protection offer. Protect your computer from crashing and online scams. According to national research, one-third of all computers are infected with some sort of computer malware. And one-third of you have been a victim of online fraud. Protect yourself now with My Computer Works. We're an 18-year-old U.S.-based company with a 4.8 Google rating. We've helped your neighbors protect their computers for almost 20 years. And now you too can be protected for less than $1 a day. Get your total PC home support right now. Call our U.S.-based specialists right now and learn about our free offer. And remember, if we can't help you, our services cost you nothing. So call right now.
800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. That's 800-352-7618.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
Now more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Thank you, Pedro. You gonna run tomorrow?
I'll be right. You gonna run tomorrow morning?
Yeah, 5:30.
Sunday. I'm leaving tomorrow at 10. I'll run with you tomorrow morning.
Okay, babe. Right, okay.
Running with the greatest athlete, I think, in the history of boxing, Ray Charles Center. I kid you not. I don't think anybody's ever been a better athlete. In my mind, he could play baseball, football, basketball. If he was big enough, I kid you not, Ray Leonard was a super athlete before he became a super fighter. Now, I want to mention this before I let you go, that Floyd Patterson was born January 3rd, 1935. Floyd Patterson, of course, the former two-time world heavyweight champion, 55-8, 40 KOs, was stopped five times. Of course, his last fight in 1972, being stopped by Muhammad Ali in the seventh round of a 12-round North American Boxing Federation title fight. Bottom line is, Floyd was a good guy. He just was. I remember that time we were in Kansas City in 1995, of course, and Tommy the Duke Morrison, his trainer, talked all kinds of smack about me, and Floyd was sitting at the table with him, and I reached over and grabbed him by the shirt. Not Floyd, the guy sitting next to Floyd. Floyd got up. Floyd said, I knew you were dead. Floyd told me in the elevator the next day, I knew you were dead serious on the way you had that look on your face and the way you grabbed him. Yeah, when you grab somebody by the chest, believe me, they know you mean business. No doubt about that. Speaking of Buster Douglas, he's still alive, rock and roll in Columbus, Ohio, of course, a guy that blew $24 million. How in the impeccable one. Can you blow $24 million? Can you? Can you blow $24 million bucks? Huh?
Not like that, no.
He blew it like in a minute, like within 2 years he was broke. He made $24 million for the Buster Douglas, for the Evander Holyfield fight from Steve Wynn. Steve Wynn gave him a check for $24 million bucks, and he blew that. And he didn't have, and it didn't like, you know, I mean, I'm just blown away by it. But the bottom line is, he's not living in poverty per se, but he's not living in luxury either. So the bottom line is, Buster Douglas back in Columbus, Ohio, but not the champion that he once was as far as wealth is concerned. That's on him. Nanoa Inouye, of course, I talked about that being postponed from December 24th at Christmas Eve to January 24th. He's going to go down 122-pound title. The all undisputed Sam Goodman's the undefeated or once-beaten challenger, come to us from the UK. January 25th, fights on the zone. January 25th, fights on the zone again. The Peacock's going to show fights. Looks like they got fights on February 1st, January 11th, and January 3rd. Is it third? I think third. Of course, they're going to go with some women fighting on the Peacock. January 11th, Carolyn Dubois is taking on Jessica Kamar for the WBC 135-pound female title. Of course, UFC Fight Pass, give Dana White props. Give him Dana, no doubt about that. Omar Trinidad versus Mike Plana, that's going to go down at featherweight January 17th on the UFC Fight Pass. You know, I knock him like I do, but he is a promoter of promoters without a doubt right now. Now, this has been another production of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. I want to thank my impeccable producer, the great Bailey Peck. Outside of that, same old, Happy New Year. God bless you. Have a great day. And, of course, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Thank everybody for tuning in.